from some of your best questions to some of the wackiest comments. We're going to have some edifying fun today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got an honest, simple question for you. You really think that you can have moral, cultural, spiritual revolution and avoid controversy? You really think that you can have a movement, be part of a movement that is supposed to impact the culture through the gospel and go against the grain and swim against the tide? You really think you can do that without controversy? Are you kidding me? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Yes, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Blessed to be on the air with you today. There are a bunch of different things we're going to get into. We've had, three intense days in the last week and a half talking about Ferguson, talking about everything relating to the shooting of my namesake, Michael Brown, everything relating to larger race issues in America. We've had our phone lines flooded with calls, but we're taking a break from that subject today. I will have an article out tonight. You'll be able to catch it by going to Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown, tonight after 8 o'clock and just clicking on latest article. But it is my article that will come out on WorldNet Daily, and it shares some inconvenient truths about Ferguson. I run the risk of offending people on all sides of the debate. We're getting amens from people on all sides of the debate with this article. It dives right into the controversies. And look, we must be as gracious and humble and caring and compassionate as we can be with the help and grace of God. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean we're going to avoid controversy. Here, Jesus, our Savior, was crucified, hated, rejected. Are we going to be more accepted than he was? Are we going to be more liked than he was? He told us, Jesus told us, John 15:18, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. If you were of the world would love you as its own. So when the world praises us, we should be recognized for our godly conduct. We should be recognized for our Christ-like character. We should be recognized for our good works. Amen to all the above. But if we expect the world to treat us differently than they treated Jesus, it only means that we're not living the way he lived. I was reading some interesting comments. And by the way, if you have any Bible-related question you want to ask me today, or any question about the culture or morality, anything on those lines you want to talk to me about, I won't take Jewish-related questions. That's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. But questions we normally take on Friday, I'm going to open the phone lines as well today and answer some of your e-questions, 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm going to share with you some of the wackiest comments that have come our way in recent weeks. But to share one of them with you now, I wrote an article, came out on Monday, since when has the gospel been popular? Asking why we expect the world to love our message when our message calls for repentance, when our message calls for submission to the lordship of Jesus, when our message calls for recognition of our sin. Yes, yes, it's a wonderful message. It's the ultimate message of love. Unmerited favor, free gift of salvation at the expense of the blood of Jesus. There's no message like it. Unreal. But what makes us think that everyone's going to say, that's wonderful. I'm very happy to repent and turn from my rebellion and acknowledge my need for God and submit to him. Sinners don't want to do that. Well, according to the one guy commenting on this, I'll just give his first name, Ah. Yeah, it is the first name, A-H. When Paul preached, the whole town came to listen to the true gospel, and they asked that the same message be preached again. If Michael Brown was there, he will be jealous and talk abusively against Paul. What kind of idiocy is that? What kind of judgmental idiocy is that? But I run into it all the time from those who say, we just preach the good news.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. You've got a Bible question, morality, culture question you want to call in with today. I'm going to open the phone lines pretty widely. 866-348-7884. We're not continuing to talk about Ferguson. We've had a couple of very intense days, and I appreciate the comments coming my way from listeners from all ethnicities and backgrounds thanking me for addressing the issues we're addressing. And although it's not Thursday, I want to mention this one story from Israel. It happened a couple days back, but there is a school, a children's school in Israel, that is a school for Israeli Jews, Israeli Arabs, and they study in the school side by side. They learn Hebrew, they learn Arabic. And some of our spiritual kids in Israel, grads from our ministry school, spiritual son and daughter, their kids go to that school. And that school got torched by Jewish religious extremists who left signs saying death to Arabs. I mean, that is so miserable, that is so hurtful, that is so harmful, that is so ugly. Yes, there are Jewish extremists, there are Muslim extremists. Islam, by nature, gives birth to more extremism with violence because of its teaching and the example of Muhammad. But be assured that there are extremists in every religion, in every group. And, of course, this makes all of Israel look bad and all Jews look bad. It's a shame that this happened, and it's painful to see how the Arabs there are affected by it, because they're in a school side by side with Israeli Jews and their fellow citizens and their friends. So it's a shame to see that happen. 866-34-TRUTH. One other thing, do I want to get into that right now? No, let me just make this other point, and then I'll go to your calls and get into a story that's a little bit longer. When I talk about where the culture is going, I'm not a doom and gloom person. When I talk about where the culture is going, it's not because I am hopeless and just I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I want to tell you how bad and ugly things are. No, I understand. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. I understand that. That's a given. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. That's a given. Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Our battle is a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. I understand that. Beginning of Ephesians 2, by nature, we were children of wrath, objects of wrath, by our very nature. I understand that worldly people are going to do worldly things. I also have a burden from the Lord to address things, to wake up the church, to help stir unbelievers to repentance, and to get God's people doing what God's people are supposed to do. So I draw attention to what's happening in the world, not to say, oh no, it's all over, everything is coming down, but rather to say, let's wake up, let's be alert, and let us swim against the tide. So we get an email, week and a half ago, maybe. It's from a new website. I'm not going to announce it yet. Once we have a link for my part on it, I'll let you know. I just went to look at it now, and it's a pretty worldly, raunchy website that I wouldn't be visiting otherwise. But I get a call from this new website that they are debating lots of the contemporary cultural issues and would like me to respond to some interview questions for a debate. What's the subject? Now, this is supposed to be a hot topic, especially among young people. That's why they're debating it. What's the topic? Should adult consensual incest be allowed? Hot topic for debate. You say, you got to be kidding me. No, I've been warning about this for years. It was, 7 years ago? The Time magazine had a headline article, cover article, should incest be legal? You say, well, Jesus is coming any minute. Friends, there have been all types of wicked things and evil things and wrong things that have happened through the centuries, and Jesus did not come back yet. What we need to do is wake up and shine our light more brightly and not just kind of be at ease and just enjoying life. No, we're in a spiritual battle. We love people. We care about people. We care about those who are deceived and who are in error. And we recognize there is a spiritual battle, because of which we must stand all the more firm. We must be all the more on the alert. We must recognize what's coming our way. James, Jacob, chapter 1 tells us, verse 27, that pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to keep oneself unspotted from the world, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So to truly follow God and obey Him, we're reaching out to the poor, to the needy, in their pain, and we're keeping ourselves undefiled from the world. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Maria in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I listen to you a lot when I can, so thank you very much for what you do. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I want to say you're welcome. I'm a believer, and I believe I'm a young single woman, and I believe that abortion is really wrong, you know, in all regards, in all states of it, in all circumstances, because the Lord is for life, you know, and never He speaks of death. But I know that, you know, for instance, in Psalm, it says that we should speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. And, you know, unborn babies are one of those groups of people, and amongst other entirely groups of people. But where should I go when I'm around people, you know, that have that stance? You know, how do I come at it maybe from a biblical point of view, but another point of view that, you know, what I'm trying to ask, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just strictly coming at it from a biblical point of view, because many people claim to believe the Bible or be followers of Jesus, then I would start with Psalm 139, where the psalmist talks about how he was formed together, knitted together so carefully by God in the womb. So there you have God's design, personhood, very clearly. I would then point to words that speak about babies in the womb as if they were already people. In other words, from the moment of conception, this child now has a destiny. So, for example, in Genesis 25 to Rebekah, she is told, two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, so Genesis 25:23. Is very effective. The same way.
I never thought of that one. Okay.
Yeah, the same way when you go to Luke, the first chapter, and Elizabeth, the older cousin of Miriam, Mary, is pregnant with the child that will be John the Baptist, John the Immerser. What happens? Well, the baby in her womb leaps when Mary comes to visit her in Luke, the first chapter. So here, this is a child who has a certain level of personhood already attributed to it. And the same way Jeremiah 1, God says to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I set you apart. So there is the clear formation of the human being by God in the womb, the personhood, the destiny. And then the Bible constantly speaks against the shedding of innocent blood. So all the verses about shedding of innocent blood, and you can ask, since it's wrong to kill a baby, you know, here's a child, and the mother doesn't want the child, she can't afford to raise the child, is it okay to kill the baby? No, absolutely not. Okay, what about one moment before that baby comes out of the womb? You just have to do it in that way, and then just say, hey, look, would you at least agree on a law that mothers should look at an ultrasound first, that they should look at an ultrasound, because once they do, a good 75 to 80% of them will end up choosing not to abort the baby because they realize it's actually a baby. And then a word of exhortation, a very powerful word from Proverbs 24 in verses 11 and 12, Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death, hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, but we didn't know this. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay each man according to his work? So rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to slaughter. That's Proverbs 24, 9 and 10. Hey, Maria, I got a break, got to run, but hopefully those verses will be helpful. Sure thing.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I do want to respond to one comment that I noted that got my attention after the show yesterday as we talked openly and honestly about one another's blind spots. Get your calls on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are open to biblical questions you have or to cultural, moral questions you have. And love to interact with you. If you differ with me on any points, great time to do it. But we won't be talking about Ferguson, which we've done 3 days, I believe, very profitably with great calls on many different sides of the issue. We've done that, I think, 3 days in the last week or so. I do just want to make this one comment. Amy posted this on our Line of Fire radio site. That's lineoffireradio.com. Dr. Brown, I'm white and live in New York State on Long Island. It's about my show yesterday. We've witnessed a lot of police brutality here, white on white and white on black, not so much black on white. I think you're dancing down the middle of the road. I can't amplify your voice if it doesn't agree with Jesus. We know which witnesses were telling the truth and those who were lying by the Holy Spirit. Ooh, Amy. Other people by the Holy Spirit come to the exact opposite conclusions that you do. And the grand jury came to opposite conclusions of what you do. The idea that I'm dancing down the middle of the road is contrary to everything in my life, contrary to how I've lived my life for 43 years. And contrary to anyone who knows me would know that's the opposite of who I am. When there are valid issues to raise on each point, as I do, doesn't matter. You better look at it that I am running the risk of offending everybody because I'm speaking truth that's uncomfortable for whites and uncomfortable for blacks and uncomfortable for people of other ethnicities and comfortable for some on each side because I'm not trying to please people. When you say, Al Sharpton is not a rabble-rouser. Of course he's a rabble-rouser. Many black leaders say he is. In terms of Ferguson, rather than encouraging folks to have a right attitude, what's he saying? We're going to get justice one way or another, basically meaning if we don't get the verdict that we want in the courts, we're going to keep pushing until we get the results we want. That is rabble-rousing. Wow. I mean, that's a surprise. That's quite a surprise. And no, the forensic evidence cannot be interpreted to support Dorian Johnson's testimony. I'm not rubbing salt into an open wound, and I'm not stirring up racist whites in the professing church. If you say that, you're not hearing me. If you say that, you haven't heard a word I'm saying. In fact, I'll offend racist whites with what I'm talking about and with my constant raising of issues of sensitivity in the black community. And talk about injustice and other problems that do exist. Perhaps you're not listening. Perhaps you're assuming the Holy Spirit's showing you things because of which you're closing your heart and mind. That is not a good habit. Just a word for the wise. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Joseph in Horton, New Jersey. Thanks, Joseph, for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I just had a really fast comment, or it's a question. I could take my answer over the air. At the beginning of today's program, I happened to tune in by accident, actually, and I was able to hear part of your commentary about the violence between the Arabs and the Jews, and you happened to mention one thing in particular that caught my attention. You said, in fact, that all religions have extremists. And you mentioned the Jews and the Arabs, but I didn't hear any comment on the Christians. Are they not included in this group of religions, so to speak? And can you answer that, please?
Yeah, sure. No, actually, if I'm correct, what I said, they're extremists in every group. I believe I said that. If not, certainly, of course, there are professing Christians who are extremists. Absolutely. And some of them have done things like killed an abortion doctor, or they're going to, you know, drive demons out of a child by sticking the child in an oven. Yeah, you have crazed, demented people in every religion, every group, every faith. Absolutely. Tragically. What I said was that you have Jewish extremists. And by the way, this was not Arab and Jewish violence. This was simply Jewish extremist violence in Israel, torching a school in Jerusalem that is a Jewish-Arab school, and the kids study together and learn together and play together and grow up together. And yeah, it's very sad that happened. What I said was that Islam is going to give birth to more violent extremists because of the example of Muhammad and the teaching of Quran and Hadith that can be interpreted in that way. Judaism will not produce that on that same level, and even less so will the New Testament because of the teaching and example of Jesus. But certainly they're extremists in all groups, and whenever they act, they need to be categorically renounced for their extremism, period. Plain and simple. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to your calls, just to mention this quickly, if you have not yet taken advantage of this week's special resource offer, I really encourage you to do it. The Tree of Life, Messianic Version of the Bible, the first ever joint translation by Messianic Jewish scholars and Christian scholars working together with Messianic sensitivities, Torah for law, Yeshua for Jesus, Messiah for Christ, and things like that, Jacob for James, but thoroughly readable, Ruach for Spirit, for example. You can get it at the lowest price we've ever offered it for. I wish I'd give these away to everyone, but they cost us money, obviously, and they cost money to make. But if you call today, 1-800-278-9978, you get it at a great savings, and we pay the postage as well. 1-800-278-9978. Or if you go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, you can actually watch a short video as well, and then you can order. Order as many as you want, and we'll get them out to you immediately so you'll have them in time for the holidays or for Christmas, and particularly if you want to give them out. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Anna in Leesburg, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I just had a comment about the love of the world towards Christians. You know, I just, like, when I look at the Bible, I just see that throughout the Bible, people like, you know, Noah, even when they were building the ark, you know, they were just being picked on. You know, even though they were doing the right thing, people never thought they were doing the right thing. I mean, you have Christians today that, you know, are really trying to live a godly life and do the right thing, but, you know, they're still being looked at as bad people. So, I mean, kind of my comment is just that, you know, God already told us that our reward is in heaven and that we shouldn't be seeking for people to like us here on earth. You know, I mean, look at Jesus, for example. Anything
yes.
he did, he was persecuted for it. You know, people never liked him. They only liked him when he was healing them. And then, you know, when it was time to crucify him, you know, they told Pontius Pilate to crucify him. Even the people that he healed turned on him. So, you know, it's just, I mean, kind of my take on it is, I mean, sometimes even when believers are really living a godly life, they are still being persecuted for it.
Yes,
I mean, the love of the world is just,
I'm just jumping in only because I have a break coming up. But Anna, of course you're right. On the one hand, 1 Timothy 3, especially as leaders, we should have a good reputation with outsiders. Matthew 5, the world should see the light of our good deeds. Absolutely. But Jesus said in Matthew 10, the servant's not above his master, nor the student above his teacher. If the master of the house has been called Beelzebub, like Satan himself, what about the servants of his household? How much more will they be called that? 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, all who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus will be persecuted. So we understand that's the case. Luke 6, Jesus said, woe to you when the whole world speaks well of you, when everyone speaks well of you. That's how they spoke about the false prophets. So, I want to be known for godliness, integrity, above reproach. At the same time, I'll be hated, rejected if I stand with Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Taking your calls on Bible and culture-related subjects today. Oh, I found this comment really kind of cute. Spotted it on our YouTube channel. If you want to subscribe to that, just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on the YouTube icon there. A fellow named James. He's upset with a comment that I made where I took issue with John MacArthur and Todd Friel and others on a panel who were not happy with a worship song where the worshipers were crying out to God to be filled with the Spirit and repeated saying, "Fill me, fill me." So this fellow says, "I heard Dr. Brown speak on homosexuality, and I thought, wow, this guy's really on the ball. I follow his feed on Facebook and was horrified to see what he's actually putting out there. He's a non-reformed, in other words, non-Calvinist, charismatic. Oh, no. Everybody be warned. Michael Brown is a non-Calvinist, charismatic." Those are my words added in there. So he writes, "He's a non-reformed charismatic. His theology is bad. His teaching is weak, and he should be avoided. Perish the thought that I'm not a Calvinist, and worse still, perish the thought that I embrace the biblical witness and promise of the Spirit." Yep. Oh, how about this one? "Stay away from this man. He is not a man of God, but a fraud and racist. Beware." Oh, yeah, we get this kind of stuff posted day and night. But praise the Lord, just another sign that we're on the right path and doing the right thing. And I have wonderful fellowship with my Calvinist and non-charismatic friends and brothers and sisters, many of whom are honored leaders in the body. We'll go to Manhattan. Daisy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Go ahead.
I would like to challenge the Christians that they should give the King Jesus his title, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So from now on, I'm challenging them to honor him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Hey Daisy, listen, thank you for the call. I am all for honoring him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And amen, let's honor him as King Jesus. I just remind you, though, that the New Testament primarily calls him Lord Jesus. So that's why we primarily call him Lord Jesus. But yes, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's honor him as such. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Eddie in New Rochelle, New York. Sounds like you got your windows open, unless you're doing underwater diving while calling. Are you
Hello?
There? Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question for you. I was listening to your show, how you were quoting the Bible. I was hoping you could do that, maybe one or two phrases for the homosexuality, because I can't seem to find anything there where it denounces homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, really? Well, it denounces homosexual practice very clearly in the Old and New Testament, beginning in Leviticus 18:22, which was a universal prohibition for Jew and Gentile alike. If you'll read the whole chapter, you'll see that it's a detestable thing.
Chapter where, in the Bible?
Yeah, in the Bible. Yeah, sure. Starting in Leviticus 18:22, that it's detestable. It's an abomination for a man to lie with a man the way a man lies with a woman. Okay. And then under Old Testament law, the penalty for that was death. That was Old Testament law, Leviticus 20:13. Then in Romans, the first chapter, Paul speaks of women giving up, turning away from the natural use of the body, men and women doing it and being inflamed with lust one for another. Then in 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul says that men who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. The good news is Jesus died for homosexual and heterosexual alike.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. You know, one of the funniest things is because people disagree with what I believe or teach, that they'll attack my educational background. My educational background and getting a master's and PhD from New York University in Near Eastern Languages and Literature is just what it is. It's a degree from a secular university in that field. It does not make my interpretation of the Bible right. It does not make my interpretation of moral and cultural issues right. It does not mean that if I say the Hebrew says this, you can't argue with it. Now, obviously, you're going to have to make a good case to tell me I'm wrong on things where I studied and got my degree or spent years looking into, but that's just fine. But I just spotted this little note here. What the blank kind of doctor are you? Doctor of mythology? Ha, ha, ha. I mean, to call yourself a doctor and a Christian, well, that's the height of arrogance and stupidity. Shame on you, man. People do these things, and I just see some of these posts on social media. They don't realize that they make themselves look stupid, that they make themselves look bad, that they only hurt their own credibility. But we're here to help. We're here to help. And if you need to just kind of vent a little, get it off your chest, tell me how mad you are and how upset you are and what a jerk I am, get it off your chest, and then I'll help you see the truth. All right? How's that for an exchange? You vent, and I'll help you see the truth. To the phones, Jerome in Fort Washington, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
My question was, I've heard there's a Queen James version of the Bible, and I'm not literate enough computer-wise with the new technology to really research and go on the systems and things like that. So would you answer that for me, please?
Yes, there is a Queen James version of the Bible, sad to say. It came out, I say, probably about 2 years ago. Now, here's the saddest thing. The people who put it out were really sincere about saying, listen, we need to have a nice Bible, a nice family Bible that changes, changes key verses. So, yeah, about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the week, I wrote an article called The Queen James Bible and, quote, Homophobic Interpretations. And this Bible is based on the King James, and then it changes key verses. It claims to be, quote, the perfect Bible for ceremony, study, sermon, gift-giving, or simply to put on display in the home or church. So it takes verses, for example, Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind is an abomination. That's King James. The Queen James says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind in the temple of Molech. It is an abomination. So if a man has sex with a man, that's perfectly fine as long as he doesn't do it to an idol. 1 Corinthians 6:9, the ESV says that men who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Queen James Bible says more that the morally weak or promiscuous will not inherit God's kingdom, so it doesn't mention homosexual practice. So it tries to change a few verses, and it fails miserably even in doing that because it's not faithfully translated in the Hebrew or the Greek. That's problem one. Problem two is it can't get away from the fact that the Bible presumes and establishes and ordains heterosexuality. So a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife. The two become one flesh. Those two can be fruitful and multiply. Honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. This presumes heterosexuality only. Every example of marriage, every teaching of family relationships, every parable, every law having anything to do with marriage presupposes heterosexuality is the one and only thing that God ordains for the human race. So you have to really change the whole Bible to make it fitting. And that's a tragic thing. You've got two gay men or women who love each other and are committed relationship and they want to follow Jesus and they read the Bible. They have to realize, hey, I'm still excluded. Yes, there's an invitation to come and receive salvation and new life through Jesus. but there's not an invitation to practice homosexuality. There's condemnation of that, and you can't get away from that in the scriptures.
Thank you so much.
Yep, you are very welcome, Jerome. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to David. We won't. Let's go to Elizabeth in Jersey City, New Jersey. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. I'm calling because you were talking about homosexuality, and I kept looking to find that, too. I remembered it, but then it got away from me. And I just wanted to know that we are to love them, not, you know, judge them. That's God's doing. But we are to love them. But we
don't
out and participate, you know, or engage or, you know what I'm saying, or sit there and discuss with them about their boyfriend or their girlfriend, that type of thing.
Listen, the love of God in our heart is a love of God for every individual. And it's a love that recognizes that God had mercy on all of us in our sinfulness and in our brokenness. And plenty of times when I'm flying and I'll end up sitting next to someone who seems pretty obviously gay, we start talking. My subject is them. My subject is their lives and how they're doing. And what's their relationship with God? If they bring up homosexuality, that's perfectly fine. But they're a human being. I'm not going to divide the world into gay or straight or gay or straight or bisexual. The issue with me is the activism that comes knocking at our door, the activism that wants to change our laws, the activism that wants to redefine marriage. That's why I address these things, and that's why they become an issue. It's blared over the over the media, over TV and Hollywood day and night. It's blared through the internet. So these are things we can't avoid in that respect. But the issue is all human beings sin, all human beings fall short, all human beings are fundamentally flawed, all human beings are in need of a savior, and Jesus died for homosexual and heterosexual all the same, and he can reach out to all the same and bring us forgiveness and a new relationship in God. Hey, thank you for the call and sharing that. And for those on the front lines of the, quote, culture wars, if our heart is not motivated by love, if our heart is not motivated by concern for all people, if our heart is not motivated for what is best for society and honoring the Lord, then we'll just be a bunch of angry people, which does no good, doesn't help anybody or anything. But if we're motivated by love, we can be righteously indignant, but if we're motivated by love, then we can make a real, real difference. 866-34-TRUTH. There's a question here from Joe, and I'm going to answer it now. When did he write in? November 19th. A New York native here named Joe, now living in the Sunshine State. I've loved all of your work for many years. Believe you're the top Christian apologist in the world today, along with Dr. White and some others, and believe you're truly blessed of the Lord. So I'd like to ask you or your team a question. Well, thank you for the very kind words, and I'm blessed to be one among many, many apologists who are fine, and way ahead of me in many respects. He said, I heard from a Christian source that Jesus himself predicted that the Jewish temple would be rebuilt in the exact spot where the second temple was standing. Is this so? Did the Lord himself prophesy this? I know the temple is supposed to be rebuilt again, but I can't find this prophecy in the scriptures by Jesus. Whenever you guys can get back to me on this, thank you. All right, Joe, you're right. You can't find that because it doesn't exist in the Bible. There is no such prophecy. The only way that you could make the argument would be to say that for the prophecies of Jesus in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 to be fulfilled, that there must be a rebuilt temple, that there are prophecies he spoke about the second temple that was destroyed 40 years after his death and resurrection, but that Matthew 24, the other passages known as the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus spoke it on the Mount of Olives, that those prophecies will also come to pass in the future. In other words, part of the chapter is for that first generation. Another part of the chapter is for the final generation, and the two subjects overlap, and that's why he answered the way he did, and therefore there'll be a rebuilt temple, and if there's going to be a rebuilt temple, it has to be in the same location. But that's all by implication. That is simply by implication to say that it's going to be in the exact same spot. There is not an explicit prophecy where Jesus says that. He does speak about the temple being destroyed. He does speak about Jerusalem being destroyed. He does speak about the exiling of Jewish people until a certain point. So he does prophesy restoration of the Jewish people back to the land and back to Jerusalem. But no, there is no explicit prophecy, no explicit prophecy saying that the temple will be rebuilt on the exact same place. That would have to be implied or read into the text. It could be absolutely true that it's going to happen, but there's not an explicit prophecy to say that.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have biblical or moral or cultural questions today, I'm opening the phone lines, giving some insights in the scriptures, sharing some wacky comments we've gotten in recent weeks and months, and taking your calls, taking a little break from some of the intense conversation we've had in the last couple of days, conversation that I've personally found tremendously profitable, tremendously helpful from those who agreed with me, from those who disagreed with me, from those who had other perspectives. Thank you for the great conversation we've had. Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts. Mark, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. Hi, doctor. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just saw this morning on the internet something unbelievable, like a black horse flying in the sky of Saudi Arabia. I don't know what you think about this, or if did you saw it, or what you think about it.
No, was this an image that someone said that they took a picture of a black horse?
No, they got a video about it.
No, all right, I haven't. All right, Saudi Arabia, just typed it in here. Saudi Arabia flying horse news. No, I have not heard anything about it. The site I'm looking at now has comments in Arabic, and some of them are praising God. I mean, that's just written out there for this. So, no, I'm not familiar with it at all. I mean, I wouldn't make anything of it. I just assume it's some kind of trick. Photography, and not obviously, if they're taking it as this is an image and this is, you know, as if Muhammad was ascending to heaven or something like that. But yeah. But I'll check. Yeah, I'll let me say this. I assume it is purely a trick and nothing more. If not, it would be some demonic manifestation. But and it could be when we get closer to the end of the age, there'll be even more and more false signs and wonders. Which means there'll be true signs and wonders, and we'll have to distinguish the true from the counterfeit, just like in biblical days. But no comment, because I haven't looked at it beyond that. But I'll take a look, and if it gets my attention, I'll add a comment. Thank you for the call, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah, Matt, see what you can find out. I'm sure you're already all over it. The black flying horse in Saudi Arabia. All right. Yeah, you know, I just want to stay on a related subject for a minute. When the Bible talks about counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, or at the end of the age, false prophet or antichrist, or whatever these figures represent with signs, wonders, counterfeit miracles, that tells me when you have counterfeit miracles that you're going to have true miracles. Now, that it's not always the case, but it's the case throughout biblical history that when God is working true miracles, you have counterfeit miracles. And generally speaking, when miraculous things are not happening at all, you don't have as much counterfeit. Just look at Scripture and see where you have the greater counterfeit. For example, where would there be a better chance of getting someone to believe a false prophecy? In a church that has true prophecies and that believes in the gift of prophecy operating today, but discernment and testing things by the Word needs to be operated, or in a church that says there is no prophecy today, there is no word beyond what's written in the Word of God. you say, well, obviously there's a better chance of getting deceived with a false prophecy where they believe in true prophecy. Yes, exactly. It's the same principle that counterfeit normally comes when there is true. You say, well, isn't it just safer to avoid everything? This is where you avoid the counterfeit. No, then you avoid all the good that God's doing. It's never good to avoid what God's doing. You say, but that's confusing. I mean, how can you say what's a real prophecy or what's a real sign? Well, this is the same issue that existed in biblical days, isn't it? Jesus warned against deception then, and he performed true miracles then, and his apostles and servants and followers performed true miracles then, and they also warned against deception. Paul warned against it. Other biblical writers warned against it. It's the same now as it was then, except that we have the benefit of the entire Bible and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So it should be harder to trick and deceive us because we have the entirety of Scripture and we're part of a body. We're not isolated and alone. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So testing things by the Word and testing things by the Spirit and testing things by the fruit that is produced and having the wisdom not just of one individual but of other gifted individuals and elders and mature believers, then we should not just be targets for deception. But that does not mean that we disregard what the Holy Spirit's doing. It's deception to miss what the Holy Spirit's doing. We are deceived if we follow a false spirit. We are deceived if we don't follow the true spirit. And I am ultimately more concerned about missing God than I am about following the devil, because I'm a child of God and I reject the devil and I want nothing to do with him. And I renounce the flesh and I renounce the world. So I just want God. I just want his word. I'm more concerned as a follower of Jesus of not following him accurately than of following Satan, whom I hate and despise and want nothing to do with. So I am not, let's just say there are all kinds of counterfeit, bizarre manifestations happening all around me. That is not going to stop me from pursuing God and his spirit and welcoming what God does and welcoming who God is and welcoming what God says. And I'm just following the same principles that are laid out in Scripture, because the Bible never gave us principles of discernment for a time when there would be no signs, wonders, miracles, because the Bible never countenances that time. The Bible never says, now, once the Holy Spirit has stopped healing the sick in miraculous ways, once the Holy Spirit has stopped speaking prophetically, once the Holy Spirit has stopped giving insight and wisdom, once the Holy Spirit has stopped doing that, now here's how you can recognize error. No, we recognize error in the midst of the Holy Spirit working and speaking and acting. That's the only thing the Bible ever countenances. Why? Because the Bible does not countenance a day when the Holy Spirit will stop doing these things. And when Jesus returns, then we won't need certain supernatural gifts to operate, like the gift of healing. But until then, we embrace everything that God is doing, and we don't follow things that he's not doing. And we discern based on Scripture, based on the witness of the Spirit, based on the fruit produced, just like in Bible days. The other thing we know now is that Scripture is not being added to. And anything in any way that violates what's been given before, we reject. And anything that in any way adds a new revelation for the entire body, something that is not written in Scripture, but a revelation for the entire body, we reject that as well, because it is going against the testimony of the Word. And at the same time, because the Word tells us that the Holy Spirit speaks and acts, we embrace what the Spirit's doing. I'm charismatic because of sola scriptura, because the Bible alone is my ultimate guide, and the Bible tells me that God continues to speak and act. Therefore, I embrace what the Bible says. And as one of Jesus' sheep, I follow him and I hear his voice. Audibly, no, but he can speak in many, many other ways. But ultimately, the number one way we hear God is his word. I want to encourage you to take advantage of this week's special resource offer. Just $20 postage paid. It's a great savings on a great new translation of the Bible by a team of Messianic Jewish and Christian scholars, the Tree of Life version of the Bible. You'll get it in time for the holidays if you want to use it as a gift. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Or right from the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today: it is the Word of God that cuts to the very depth of human emotion, separating soul from spirit, and delivers us from deception. From some of your best questions to some of the wackiest comments, we're going to have some edifying fun today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We are going to take a break from our intense discussions about Ferguson. I have an article that will be out tonight on Inconvenient Truths from Ferguson. I may end up offending people on all sides of the debate, but I'm going to speak the truth regardless. But thank you for the great calls the last couple of days and last week as well. So insightful, so helpful. Those who agreed with me, those who differed, thank you for the calls and for the interaction. Much appreciated. And I think great education for our entire listening audience. And I hope an example for other radio shows and broadcasters and church leaders that open, candid, honest, frank discussion, determined to speak the truth in love, because our commitment to God and one another goes deeper than getting a little offended and getting a little annoyed and getting a little challenged. That's the way we're going to move forward. 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to dig into the Word today. I'm going to answer some of your biblical questions. But what we're going to do today, we always do on Friday. If you want to ask me any Bible-related question or any moral or cultural-related question, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. So we won't be talking more about Ferguson. Tomorrow we'll do our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday focus. But today, I want to open up the phone lines. If you want to ask me any Bible-related question or a moral, cultural-related question, 866-348-7884. Before I get into that, someone named James posted this on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. And he said, care to comment on this, Dr. Brown? Arizona pastor predicts AIDS-free Christmas if all gays are killed as God commands. And this is a Baptist pastor in Tempe, Arizona, who called for the mass extermination of gays and lesbians. Well, I haven't read the report, the actual article, but I immediately posted, because I just had a moment during a break. If the headline is right, this is absolutely deplorable. And my dear friend and colleague, Dr. James White, added in, oh, it is accurate. I have had more than my share of interaction with this cult leader, and that is what he is. A gentleman named Sven, who is a professing gay Christian pastor, I find him to be tremendously serious, as I've interacted with Sven, and in many ways very serious about the Word. But as Sven knows, deeply in error, because he says that you can practice homosexuality and follow Jesus at the same time as long as you're in a committed relationship. Sven then wrote, before he saw my response, you'll probably get the standard answer, this man does not speak for us. However, there sure seem to be a lot of people like this man. And I wrote, I work with thousands of key leaders around the world, and I've never met one who would not be appalled by this. And then Chad posted, this guy is a Ruckmanite, KJV only, as Nuff said. Ah, follower of Dr. Peter Ruckman, militant King James Version only leader. So if that comment's accurate, that would add to it even more. Adam added in, Sven, we are talking about a man who is KJV only, one of the most radical of the KJV only folks. More than that, you're dealing with a man who has gone after Dr. James White, an opponent of the gay agenda, misrepresenting him badly about a picture he referenced in a Sunday school lesson, and on and on. All that to say, in reality, when people make extreme, ugly comments like that, not only do they not represent Jesus, they do not represent all godly leaders in the body. They represent a fringe, fanatical, extremist group that I categorically, completely denounce without nuance. Denounce. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you've got biblical or culture-related questions today, phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, I want to answer a question from Jonathan. And Jonathan asks this. Dr. Brown, I once saw your interview on Sid Roth's program, and I sometimes listen to your radio program on American Family Radio on Sunday afternoon after church. I enjoy your rich insight into Scripture. I'm a youth pastor, and this Sunday, so this would have been a couple of weeks ago, I'll be speaking about the life of Samson in my message, Freedom from Unnecessary Pressure. And now, my answer, Jonathan, is obviously after your message, but hopefully this will still be of use to you. In studying the life of Samson, I've also studied, Numbers chapter 6, which entails Nazirite requirements. Here are my questions. It seems that according to Numbers 6, that a Nazirite should not have been around dead bodies. At the very least, when a Nazirite was around a dead body, he was supposed to go through a process of separation, shaving his hair, head, offering sacrifices. For Samson, should he have entered this process of purification after killing the Philistines as a continual way of reconnecting with God's presence? And as a way of consecrating his gift of strength to the Lord, was Samson never defiled by killing the Lord's enemies as the Mishnah seems to relate? I would be very grateful for your insight. Jonathan, as far as I know with rabbinic tradition, it would say that Samson would still be defiled by touching a dead body. I'm not sure what sources you're looking at, but there are many, many different rabbinic sources. Maybe I'm missing one that you're pointing to. Samson should never have cut his hair because God told him to never cut his hair. But there would have been a purification process to go through had he been a law-abiding, godly Nazirite. In many ways, he did his own thing. He violated other laws and was careless. So he was careful not to cut his hair, but he was careless in other ways, which then got him in a compromised situation by which he ultimately did cut his hair, lose his strength, and end up losing his eyes and ultimately his life as he brought final judgment on the Philistines. So Samson's an example of what happens when you try to keep one part of your commitment and don't keep the others, that you get yourself in big trouble. All right, breaking news, and this will certainly be disturbing to many, and I can understand why, and this will further fuel the fires of black Americans saying we don't get justice when it comes to the police. But a word has come that there will be no indictment of the officer who choked to death Eric Garner, a black man involved apparently in petty crime at that time with asthma. He was a big, heavy man. And as far as I know, there is no indication of any violent resistance or attack. He's ultimately subdued in a chokehold. Others hold him down. He says he can't breathe, and he's killed. From what I understand, if the story is as I've seen it, and I watched the video some time back, this would be much more worthy of indignation than the shooting of my namesake, Michael Brown, in Ferguson. I don't want to focus on that now. I know this is volatile, but I'll just read this report quickly on CNN. A grand jury decided against an indictment Wednesday on the death of Eric Garner, an unarmed black man who died after white police officer Daniel Pantaleo put him in a chokehold, according to two law enforcement officials. During his fatal police encounter, Garner raised both hands in the air and told the officers not to touch him. Seconds later, a video shows an officer behind him grab him in a chokehold and pull him to the sidewalk, rolling him onto his stomach. "I can't breathe. I can't breathe," Garner said repeatedly, his cries muffled into the pavement. The cause of Garner's death was, quote, compression of neck chokehold, compression of chest, and prone positioning during physical restraint by police. Medical examiner's officers has said the death was ruled a homicide. I'm sure this is going to evoke a lot of indignation. I'm not there to know more than this, but this seems to be much more worthy of people drawing attention to this situation. And I'm sure it's happening already as I speak. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Abe in Tyler, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I greatly appreciate your show and the way you want to get to the bottom of these issues that are tough and do it in a biblical way. I've got a question. Could you thoroughly explain what the scriptures mean? I think it's written three times. Be holy as I am holy. And what that looks like and how we go about doing that.
Surely, when God spoke it to Israel in different situations, Leviticus 19 being one of them, he was saying because he was of a certain nature and character, and he was distinguished by being separated from that which was defiling and wrong and sinful, and that he himself was morally pure and righteous, that we had to emulate that as human beings. We do not attain to his level, but we emulate that. So for the children of Israel, that would mean keeping the law of Moses. That would mean living a life separated from the world, separated from sin, separated to God. In the New Testament, that is now carried out, but by us following the example of Jesus and becoming like him in thought, word, and deed. I posted on Facebook yesterday one of my quotes, "Holiness is God in me and I in him. It is a life lost in his love. Holiness is being wholly his and his being wholly mine." So that's how I would express it. But to be holy today does not mean that all believers need to live by the Sinai covenant because we're under a new and better covenant. But we are to live separated lives, emulating the character and nature of Jesus as expressed through the scriptures and expressed through his life.
Oh, thank you very much, and God bless you, Dr. Brown.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to some of your email questions, and then I want to tell you about an interesting controversy that I'm involved with. I tweeted this out earlier. You cannot be a true follower of Jesus and avoid controversy at the same time. It goes with the turf, no matter how humble and gracious you are. So I just want to mention a controversy, the latest controversy, well, not the latest, one from a week ago, so there have been quite a few since then. And I'm not looking for controversy to stir up trouble or see how many feathers I can ruffle. I'm just trying to obey the Lord and do what's right and honor him. And let me say this before I get to this email question. Romans 14 says, "Don't judge another man's servant. To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand. God can make him stand." What that means is this. It doesn't mean that if I sin against you, that you don't come and speak to me about it. Matthew 18 doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we don't test what others teach and preach. We're absolutely called to do that through the New Testament. And it doesn't mean that if you have someone in the body, let's say you have a fellowship, your congregation has 100 people in it, one guy leaves his wife, starts sleeping with his secretary, and he and his secretary show up at your service, that person is not confronted and gently called to repentance. And if he refuses to repent, then ultimately excommunicated. It's not talking about that. It's talking about you eat pork and I don't. Or I set aside Saturday and you set aside Sunday to worship the Lord. Or you like to pray early in the morning, I like to pray late at night. Or whatever the practice might be. Things that are non-material in terms of differences. That we are not to judge another man's servant. So maybe you judge the servant of the next door neighbor. I can't believe it. He doesn't get out of bed till 2 in the afternoon. He doesn't start responding to emails or texts until past 2 in the afternoon. What kind of a slob is he? I've got to be up at 6. Oh, what you don't know is that he is tending to a sick person in the house, and he has to wait on that person hand and foot from 10 at night until 8 in the morning, when he then gets a few hours sleep. Don't judge another man's servant. So why do I bring that up here? I bring it up to say not everyone's called to do what I do. Not everyone's called to address what I address. And I'm not called to be what others are. I'm not called to do what a pastor does, but I'm called to have a pastoral heart for the sheep, for sure. I'm not called full-time to do what an evangelist does, although my heart burns always to see people saved, first and foremost by Jewish people, but always burns to see people saved. And on it goes. We each have our calling. I believe that every Christian leader should have some involvement in social moral issues because we live in this world and we're called to be salt and light. But that is not going to be their main focus for the most part. So everybody has to run their race. Where there's error, where there's sin, where there's compromise, that must be addressed. But otherwise, encourage me and help me run my race. Let me encourage you and help you run yours. And together, we can make a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a Bible-related question or if you have a moral culture-related question, glad to take your calls. 866-348-7884. All right. Little controversy that I am involved with. Last week, I wrote an article about Michelle Duggar and the question, is she promoting LGBTQ fear-mongering? And this goes back to August when she was part of a robocall. In other words, these automated calls that you get, so you hear a tape of her voice. And she was encouraging people in Arkansas to vote against a bill that included what would be a transgender bathroom bill. So if a man identifies as a woman, he can use the woman's restroom and vice versa. Now, someone would say, well, are you saying that they're exposing themselves in the bathrooms in front of people? No, I'm saying in many cases, it's very evident that that's a male going in there. And females are uncomfortable with that. Are you saying they're all sexual predators? No, of course not. Wouldn't think of that. Not the issue at all. The issue is that people are going to feel uncomfortable. It's that simple. And it opens the door for heterosexual sexual predators to use that as a ploy to just get in a women's bathroom or to be in the stall next to someone if that turns them on somehow. You say, well, there's no example of that happening. No, there are examples now in like high schools, California or other states, where you can use the bathroom of your perceived gender. So biological male who perceives himself to be a female can use the girls' bathroom. There have been complaints from girls over that. And there have been guys that have just gone into the girls' bathroom. They're kids. Of course you expect them to do stupid things like that. So if you don't have this law, it doesn't open up the door to those things. And there is a case, fairly well known in those of us who follow these issues, of a man who's now legally a woman, but has not had surgery to change his maleness. And he was in a sauna where he goes to college and was sitting there naked in the sauna, as the police report said, with her male genitalia exposed. And two young ladies from the high school who also use the pool there. It's at a small area, Olympia, Washington. So the college pool was also used by a girls' swim club in the high school. They went in there and saw him and, of course, were shocked. And the school said, nothing we can do because we don't discriminate based on gender identity. Well, in response to my article, a woman named Camille Beredick wrote on the Friendly Atheist website, is this maybe the third or fourth article on Friendly Atheist where they've gone after me in a story or something? So I'm glad they're seeing my stuff, and more interaction, the better. So Camille writes, this was a few days ago, to Michelle Duggar, Michael Brown, and the rest, stop attacking trans women. Well, I'm not attacking anyone. I am calling for moral and cultural sanity. And I'm saying the fact that one person is deeply confused, or has particular perceptions does not mean that they get to foist those on everyone else in a way that is going to make others uncomfortable. Well, the interesting thing in the story here is that Camille says that my report of what happened in Olympia, Washington is inaccurate. And that a year afterwards, Kristen Williams, writing in the Trans Advocate, set the record straight. Number one, that the sauna, so she said, here's the nugget of truth to the story. Two teens did claim to see Colleen Francis nude while in the Evergreen College sauna. Well, that's the key nugget. That is the key nugget. There was a biological male sitting there naked in the girls' sauna. That's everything right there. So the nugget of truth is the only part that needs to be accurate. And it would not happen unless the school had this bizarre policy that it has. Oh, and should I mention that according to social media posts by this same individual, Colleen Francis, Colleen, who is a biological male, now legally a female, is very interested in women and freely lusts after women. So now would identify as a transgender lesbian. So you've got the, you say, well, but hang on, the girls weren't supposed to be there. The high school girls weren't supposed to be there. So hang on. So they're at fault. It's their fault. They're the guilty part. They're the bad ones here. Unless one specifically tries to see inside the sauna, you can't view the people inside. Yeah, but what if you want to use the sauna? What if you want to use the sauna? It's insane to have a biological male in the women's sauna, especially still having his biological male markers. Oh, okay, what if the high school girls were not allowed in the sauna, but the college girls were? Are you saying it's okay then for college girls? So you're 18, you got out of high school, you're in college, you're 19, you're 20, you go in the sauna, and there's a man sitting there with his legs open, and that's okay? That's all right? What? And this is an article saying I got it wrong? Camille, Kristen, please wake up to reality. And the ultimate compassion for those who identify as transgender is to help them from the inside out. The ultimate compassion is to say, let us invest time and energy and effort to try to get to the root of the struggles and the root of the problems and the root of the pain and the root of the confusion. Yeah, there are some chromosomal issues that exist in some cases, but that's not the vast majority of those who identify as transgender, according to what I know and have studied. And yes, there are some who from birth have ambiguous genitalia. That is another issue entirely. There are some who would be in the category of intersex. But the vast majority of those who identify as transgender are clearly biologically male or female. True compassion says, let's do the hard thing and try to help them from the inside out. You say, you know, all this stuff makes my head spin. I understand, but the word of God gives us clarity. The truth of God gives us clarity. And I want to commend to you the Tree of Life version of the Bible, first of its kind. It's written for the whole body. It's not just written to be used in Messianic Jewish congregations. It's written for the whole body. A team of Messianic Jewish and Christian scholars working together to produce a fresh, new translation with Messianic sensitivities, Miriam instead of Mary, Jacob instead of James, Yeshua instead of Jesus, but fully readable and clear. We have it at a very special price for the holidays, a great gift to give out. Only $20 postage paid. It's only $30 plus postage. So call now to order as many as you like. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or on my website, we've got a short video about the Bible too. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. If you have Bible-related questions, moral, cultural-related questions, I'm glad to take your calls today. We are not going to be focusing on Ferguson and the related events there. We've had some great, insightful as in S-I-G-H-T, not C-I-T-E, great, insightful calls from many, many different perspectives that have been super, super helpful. So thanks for weighing in. Look for my article tonight, a little bit after 8. It will be up, and it is going to be on Inconvenient Truths from Ferguson. I've got a lot to say there and could well offend people on all sides, but my goal is not to offend. My goal is to speak the truth. My goal is to provoke constructive thought. My goal is to help us look at the real, real key issues. Before I go to the calls, go to your calls, and before I, well, you know what? Let me just dive in. Let me dive in with an email question here, and it's got several parts to it. It is from Singapore. I'm from Singapore. I have huge respect for you. It's from Sandy. I'd like to ask a question concerning modern-day apostles. First of all, I believe in apostleship and that God is restoring the office of apostle in our times. However, I'm seeing many people claiming to be apostles in recent years, or there are many ordinations of apostles. My questions are, one, what does the Bible say about apostle? Two, what is the biblical criteria for being an apostle? Because many are called to be apostles simply because of big churches, ability to network, having wide networking, etc. Personally, I believe it has to be something more. Is it biblical to have a public ordination of someone to be an apostle? Thanks. First, of course, there are the 12 apostles, which then become the 11, and with the probable addition of Paul as the 12th. We also have Matthias as the 12th in Acts, the first chapter. Those apostles are never repeated in terms of who they are, in terms of what they did, in terms of writing scripture. Not all of them wrote scripture. Not all of scripture is written by apostles, but the clear witness of the apostles, that's what's written in the New Testament, is either written by apostles or colleagues of the apostles. The authority they carried, that is once and for all. That's not to be repeated. However, there are others that are called apostles, simply emissaries, foundation layers, those who were sent by God on particular missions. And there are others in the New Testament who are called apostles. Because of that, we recognize it's an ongoing ministry. We also look at Ephesians 4, where Paul writes that Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and says that this will continue until we come into fullness. So, for example, Acts 14:14, but when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, so Barnabas is called an apostle. Again, there are others in the New Testament who are also referred to as apostles outside of the first 11 or 12. So we recognize there are other small A apostles as opposed to the 12 capital A apostles, if you want to distinguish it like that. They are emissaries. They are sent on specific mission. They are foundation builders. They bring a fundamental revelation of Jesus. They are spiritual fathers. They may have large churches or small. You may pastor a very, very large church and not be an apostolic person. I would say many of the great missions leaders of past generations have been called to be apostles and set apart by God as such, but they didn't use that title. They were planters. They were builders. They began whole movements. Those would be some of the things that would be part of apostolic ministry in terms of foundation laying, pioneering, etc. The fact that you have two churches does not make you an apostle. But let's all think of ourselves as servants, and our calling is to be servants. I would see someone set aside for the work of ministry with the laying on of hands, but not particularly set aside as an apostle primarily with the laying on of hands.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is interesting. My last comments about transgender issues just provoked a number of calls. I want to get you in a moment. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. The Washington Free Beacon reports that after more than 200,000 signatures calling for the U.S. government to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, the White House said no. Quote, we have not seen credible evidence that the Muslim Brotherhood has renounced its decades-long commitment to nonviolence. It says the United States is committed to thwarting terrorist groups that pose a threat to U.S. interests and those of our partners. The article notes that the Muslim Brotherhood was founded in Egypt in 1928, has since spawned the terrorist group Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and supported Islamist parties in Egypt, Tunisia, Kuwait, and other Middle Eastern nations. Both Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist group in 2014, and the United States said no. Didn't we back the Muslim Brotherhood in the elections in Egypt only to find out we were backing radical Muslims? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Karen, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to say that I agree with you when you said that one nugget of truth was the most important part of it. And so my question is, how does one become a legal woman with still having this, as you put it, maleness? That these young girls could have been, I mean, how did, I understand the school's predicament if this is a legal female that you can't, you know, keep from the sauna, but how did this person become a legal female without having the other stuff happen?
All you have to do is identify as such. It varies from state to state, but in some states, if you have simply been under doctor's care and hormone treatment, say for a period of 2 years, then you can have your driver's license changed and your birth certificate changed without going through sex change surgery or anything else. And even if you go through sex change surgery, that is no basis for having your birth certificate changed. I mean, that's right. A complete outrage. What the school said, and it wasn't even that the man was legally a woman, but identified as a woman was the biggest thing, because that would be right. Discrimination based on gender identity. There's a 12-year-old, I think from female to male, a 12-year-old in Canada who has now had her birth certificate changed from female to male, or male to female. This is a 12-year-old. This is someone who hasn't even gone through puberty yet and has had the birth certificate changed. So this is societal madness.
Okay, here's a suggestion. Excuse me, but if you forget what your legal status is, but if you biologically are one place or the other, could we not separate the facilities that way? That I, you know,
well, that's what I thought we did. In other words, the men's room is for men, and the women's room is for women. That's been self-evident and simple. Of course,
right.
People who go through this are struggling, some of them terribly, some of them suicidal.
Right.
Tragically, many of them are still suicidal on the other side of surgery and depressed. But either way, let us devote energy to helping them without trying to turn the world upside down in this respect, so that we even have to have the discussion of, can we just be sure that only biological males are in the men's room, you know?
Sure, because then what you're doing, and again, I have great compassion for these people, and I hope they find their path. But to take two girls that are seemingly okay and then put them in a position that could be a scarring experience, maybe, you know, kind of a jolt. That seems like that doesn't solve anybody's problem, and it was probably uncomfortable for all three of them. You know, why? I'm sorry that one person is uncomfortable, and that's bad, and we should do what we can to help that. But should we, in the process, make other people who wouldn't otherwise be uncomfortable now uncomfortable? That doesn't seem to.
Absolutely. And the fact that everything is supposed to revolve around the needs of someone who's struggling or is confused is social and moral incentive. We don't do that with anything else. And look, by all means, we accommodate. You know, you have a right. ramp for people with wheelchairs to get into buildings. You have things like that. You know, you have Braille where you've got, you know, numbers on an elevator so a blind person can feel their way. And
right.
yeah, we do whatever we can to accommodate, but we do not now make it that the one person who's struggling now imposes that on everyone else so that you have an instant. And the thing that's most outrageous is that in the article, they don't say, well, this was terribly wrong. And of course, you should not have a biological male in the women's song. No, they're just going to make excuses for it. 866-34-TRUTH. Teresa in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you, I so appreciate you for standing up for what's right. And even, I mean, it's not in your own opinion. It is right by law. It's right by the Bible. It's right by God. So what you're saying and what you're doing, thank you. And as far as the situation with the transgender going into the restroom with females, I've had that experience when I was younger, even before it became such a big factor. And I was in I had a man that worked with me, and he was, he came in as a man, and as he had been there maybe a couple of months, first he came in as a man, then he wanted to change, and he wanted to wear a woman's outfit, then he wanted to wear his hair like a woman, then he wanted to wear makeup when they had a uniform standard for everyone who worked there. And so at one point, I being a Christian, even at that time, I went in the restroom, and the gentleman came in and stood there and put on his makeup. And it was a single restroom that, you know, only really you can go in the stall and someone can come to the sink, and that was it. And I looked down and saw about a size, like, no, 13, 14. And I was like, oh, God, you know, I'm in the restroom where I'm supposed to be with a guy. And I was in my 20s, and I was like, this, my early 20s. I know this is ridiculous, you know, so I went out and I reported it. But to what you're saying, you're exactly right. No one should have to experience that. And it shouldn't even be a factor whether a man or a woman that decides to change from one reason or another should have rights to change the things that are correct and normal. And I'm not saying they're abnormal. I'm just saying the things that are normal according to the law, according to the founding fathers, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, just according to even human common sense, that we recognize they're boys and girls and males and females. Yes, those that have legitimate issues, we need to be compassionate towards those who mm-hmm. struggle. I remember I was preaching, it may have been in Raleigh, and I made mm-hmm. some comment, and there was a woman with short hair in the front row, or I think she's in the front row. She got angry, said something to me, and stormed out. And I just said, hey, let's pray for her. She's probably hurt, upset about something. And then afterwards, a family member came up to me and said, either that's my sister, a sister-in-law, something like that. She was born with dual genitalia, male and female organs, and she's always suffered rejection and so on. And when you made a comment, she took it as a personal attack, even though it was I wasn't even talking about that issue, and it was a complete misunderstanding. But I immediately thought, when I saw her get up, she's hurting. I didn't think, why did she just disrupt the service and yell at me as I'm preaching? I thought mm-hmm. she's hurting. And obviously, you have not everyone fits into a convenient category. But when you have okay. someone where the primary issue is in their own mental perception, because they are clearly a male mm-hmm. or a female, we need to help them from the inside out, and they do not get to turn the rest of the world upside down so that you have men's right. rooms, women's rooms, and who knows. And in fact, let me just give you this news report here that was sent me this morning. Associated Press reports district ordered to pay transgender students $75,000. A Maine court, so a court in the state of Maine, has awarded the family of a transgender girl $75,000 in the settlement of her discrimination lawsuit against a school district where administrators made her, she's obviously a biological male, use a staff, not student, bathroom. They said to this boy who identifies as a girl, you can use a special staff bathroom. They sued the school because they want him to be able to use the ladies' room, and the school was found guilty and asked to pay a $75,000 fine. Teresa, that's outrageous. Thank you for the kind words and for your call and for your Christian attitude in the midst of this. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Debbie, David, Mike, stay tuned. We're coming your way. And a real neat thing was posted on social media. I smiled when I saw it. I'm going to read it to you when we come back. Remember, check my latest article after 8 o'clock tonight. I'll weigh in with some inconvenient truths about Ferguson. And thank you for your many, many kind words, your words of encouragement. Much appreciated from the heart.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. Charles posted this on my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. He said, bless you and your ministry. Big fan. If I had millions to give to your ministry, I would. Hope to meet you one day before we get to heaven. Thank you for being a voice when others are scared to speak. I noticed that and sent him a thank you for posting that. Look, there are very, very few who have millions to give, but there are millions who have something to give. And if each of you would help us with a year-end gift, it would be tremendously appreciated. I'm so excited when I leave, God willing, for India and Malaysia on Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live from India and Malaysia over the next couple of weeks. I can't wait to be doing that. 22nd straight year going to India, and my first time I'll be in Malaysia. But as I'm away, we're going to be retrofitting my studio. We've removed all the books, trying to find other places in our office building for them. Not totally successful finding places, but we tried. We are completely redoing my radio studio, and it's going to be set up for video. And we are going to start, hopefully early in the new year, producing high-quality TV programs based on the radio shows. And then, if all goes well, sometime in 2015, even be able to start live streaming. We are in process of raising money to get hundreds of videos and articles translated into Hebrew for the Hebrew release of our Real Messiah website. We just need your help to do what we're doing. We are really stretched, our entire staff and team. There's so much more we want to do. We just need more folks to help with it, folks to help get more messages out from our grads that will really minister and stir hearts. So would you consider a year-end gift? Your one-time gift of any size will go straight to our ministry work, straight to our radio broadcast, straight to help our missionaries around the world, straight to help with Jewish outreach. That's where your funds will go. And we have more and more stations asking us to be on the air. We just need funds to take those steps. So give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. Your one-time gift or becoming a monthly supporter or torchbearer, putting aside a dollar a day or more, would mean the world to us and would help us help so many others. When you become a torchbearer, you get many other perks with it. So go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate. Help us with a one-time gift or becoming a monthly supporter. Again, all of your gifts are tax deductible. Or call 1-800-278-9978. Thank you in advance for your solidarity. Let's go to Debbie in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question, you mentioned intersex people. And my question is, what are people like that who are born neither male fully nor female fully supposed to do in regards to relationships?
Yeah, it's obviously a tremendously difficult issue when the world is divided into male and female and you don't fit in that category. I'm on the Intersex Society of North America website, And it says, intersex is a general term used for a variety of conditions in which a person is born with a reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't seem to fit the typical definitions of female or male. For example, a person might be born appearing to be female on the outside, but having mostly male typical anatomy on the inside. Or a person may be born with genitals that seem to be in between the usual male and female types. For example, a girl may be born with, and then it goes into further details. A few things. In some cases, there can be surgical adjustments that can be made. The person may not be able to be fully reproductive, but there can be surgical adjustments that can be made in some cases. If things are ambiguous, it's important, if there can be chromosomal testing to see if the person is male or female, then to try to correct surgically according to that. But if that cannot be done, then this person has to be recognized as a whole person who has a handicap in a particular area, just like someone is born deaf or blind or with a limb that doesn't function properly or some other type of disability, that there is a certain handicap, but they are a full human being. And as far as relationships, they either need to have a relationship with someone who is not concerned by that, that loves them for who they are, and is not concerned by these anomalies, and reproductive children is not the issue with them. In some cases, it could be a relationship with another person who's intersex. I heard of people who had sex change surgery and then came to faith and partially reversed the sex change surgery so they couldn't reproduce and they were not fully male or female. And those two had a relationship together that was intimate but was not fully sexual. But the thing is, the church needs to know that cases like this exist, that there is a very real handicap that some have, and there needs to be compassion that says, hey, whoever you are, whatever your background, there's a place for you here where you can be a functioning, fruitful member. And in most cases, this person would serve fully in the church without anyone having any idea that there's any kind of problem whatsoever. Excuse me. It would only be if there was a relationship. Many times someone like this will end up in a gay and lesbian church or in the gay and lesbian community because they're much more accepting of different variations. We need to learn to reach out to those who are outcast and rejected, misunderstood, or have some very real handicaps and struggles. Debbie, thank you for asking an important question. Much appreciated. And let's go to Mike in Ogden, Utah. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, this is Mike. Anyway, I just want to commend you. I've been watching some of the, I always listen to radio programs, but I've been watching some of the programs you put on with Michael Rydelich and Anwar and Jerusalem and Israel. I really appreciate those. Do you have some more coming up, or was that it in the series? I think I've seen two or three.
All right. Well, we've done two full sets of our own TV programs. One of them is called Think It Through. We did two seasons of that, about 22 episodes on the Inspiration Network. Those can be watched on our website if you go to AskDrBrown.org and search for Think It Through. You can see the episodes there, or those can be ordered. They're great on DVD, great to watch, great outreach tools. Then we have a 32-week teaching series on answering your toughest questions that airs on the NRB station, National Religious Broadcaster. Again, if you go to our website and click on TV Info, you'll find out more about that. But the special ones that we did for Day of Discovery, we did three or four different shows, one with Daryl Bach, Walter Kaiser, Michael Rydelnik, and myself, and then in Israel with Michael Rydelnik and Avner Bosky. We did those there. But there are no more plans for Day of Discovery ones. So if we do more, then we'll get them out on DVD for everyone to know. But all those resources are available on our website, AskDrBrown.org. If you just search for the different ones, you can find them and watch many of them online or on our YouTube channel. Hey, Mike, thank you for the call and the kind words. We are out of time. Remember to check out this week's special resource offer, a wonderful discounted price on the Tree of Life, Messianic version of the Bible. This is the whole Bible, Old and New Testament together at the best price we've ever made it available before. My bottom line today: let us, like Jesus, go after the lost, the outcast, the rejected, the ones that society finds unredeemable, and let's show them redemption.